We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Florida flexed its political muscle a bit this week, seeing major campaign visits by both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. On Tuesday, Clinton visited a health clinic on the edge of the Zika zone in Miami, where she picked up the criticism of Congress for not acting on Zika funding.
I would very much urge the leadership of Congress to call people back for a special session and get a bill passed. Get a bill that is focused on combating Zika passed.
On Wednesday, Trump held a rally at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, and it was not without his heated political rhetoric about Clinton and President Obama, this time on foreign policy.
He founded ISIS, and I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, crooked Hillary Clinton.
He repeated the claim in a speech at the National Association of Home Builders meeting a day later in Miami Beach, as well as last night in Central Florida. To be clear, no American politician founded ISIS. The National Center of Counterterrorism says its roots date back to 2004, and Abu Musab al-Zarqawi as a terrorist founder of the organization. Campaigning in Naples this week, Senator Marco Rubio, who is a member of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said, quote, ISIS was founded by radical jihadists, not by the president, end quote. And then Friday morning, this morning, Trump tweeted at CNN, quote, I call President Obama and Clinton the founder of ISIS and most valuable player. They don't get sarcasm, with a question mark. And that last question was in all caps in the tweet. In the meantime, local politics here, one of the most closely watched congressional primaries, longtime incumbent and former chair of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, will debate her opponent, FAU law professor Tim Canova. So did you hear anything in these presidential visits that made you sway your vote? And how about this debate between Democrats running for the U.S. House District that stretches from Miami Beach to Weston? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576 on Facebook and on Twitter as well. Rosemary O'Hara with the South Florida Sun Sentinel continues with us here in Miami. From our studios in Key West, Jim DeFede with CBS4 is along with us. Rosemary, first of all, did you hear anything regarding South Floridians' decision in front of them for the presidential race, for the top of the ticket from either candidate today? Any local issues did you hear from either candidate?
No. I guess the Zika issue is a local issue, and she's right. Congress should have passed a bill, a clean bill, that gave the money that both sides know is needed without tacking on something about Planned Parenthood or, you know, repealing Obamacare or shifting money away. So she did. And I guess to Trump, you know, he says it was sarcasm. His humor is hard to, you know. Then we heard that whole Second Amendment thing. Was he kidding
that
about that
too? That was
earlier
in the week. Yeah, that did not happen in Florida. Yeah. Jim, how about you? Did you hear anything that was a direct appeal to South Florida voters from either Secretary Clinton or Mr. Trump?
You know, not when they're actually in those large forums. But what you end up finding is you're seeing, at least on the Donald Trump side, I'll give him credit, he's doing more and more local interviews. He sat down with me a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He sat down with the Herald yesterday. I know another TV station sat down with him, where he's now beginning to get some of those local questions about Cuba, you know, about Everglades restoration, on some of those things. So we're starting to pin him down a little bit more on those issues when they come through town. I wish Secretary Clinton would give some more greater press availability so that local members of the media could address her as well.
Yeah, local members as well as national members, absolutely. And I know WLRN has had discussions with both campaigns about sitting down for some lengthy interviews to discuss some of those issues, as I'm sure all of our media organizations represented here on the Florida Roundup have. So let's talk about next week on Sunday, Jim. It begins with your program, 8 a.m. CBS4 television debate between the Democrats vying for the nomination to run for Congress in Florida's 23rd House District. This is the district that runs Miami Beach, north to Port Everglades, and then west to Weston. This debate, will it happen, Jim?
Oh, yes. No. We've got commitments from both Tim Canova and Debbie Wasserman Schultz that they will be there. It'll be an hour-long debate. I'll be moderating it and hosting, basically asking them the questions. This is a fascinating race to me. I mean, this is such an important and highly watched race. Usually primary races don't gather a lot of attention around the country, but when you've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was just recently ousted as DNC chair, with the backing now of the White House and Hillary Clinton, and Nancy Pelosi is in town supporting her candidacy against Tim Canova, who is the support of Bernie Sanders and has been fueled by money from Bernie Sanders supporters across the country that has now made him a viable candidate to challenge a seven-term incumbent. It's fascinating, and it's almost a proxy war where now all the anger, all that pent-up frustration that you see Bernie Sanders supporters have had is now directed at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and their vehicle for trying to attack her is Tim Canova.
And Rosemary, I know that both candidates have sat with the editorial board of the Sun Sentinel. I know you've discussed a number of issues with both these campaigns. You've endorsed the South Florida Sun Sentinel editorial board has endorsed Debbie Wasserman Schultz in her reelection campaign. What led to that endorsement?
Well, you know, Tim Canova is a smart guy. He knows the issues. He's thoughtful. He's prepared. He is a great candidate, and so I give him his due. But Debbie Wasserman,
but not the endorsement.
But not the endorsement, because in the end, you look at who's gonna be the most influential, who's gonna be the most effective. Part of that is based on their history. What have they already done? If you look at what Debbie has done for the district, for the port, for the airport, for transportation, for beach renourishment, let alone on national issues, she is effective. She's smart. She's a smart cookie. She can talk the details of multiple policy issues. But in the end, one of the other factors is that if Hillary Clinton wins the White House, Debbie is co-chair of Hillary's 50-state campaign. So if Hillary wins, South Florida's, you know, congresswoman would have a great friend in the White House. We were afraid that the fallout from the DNC could hurt her effectiveness. Who wants to stand next to her after all of that blowback that she just got? But given her relationship with Hillary, that tipped the balance.
Jim DeFita, you'll be moderating the discussion between these two on Sunday morning on CBS4. Let me ask you, how much of your discussion do you anticipate to be about character? And what I mean by that, of course, is the fallout from the email scandal and the leaked emails under the chairmanship of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democratic National Committee, and issues when it comes to the 23rd Congressional District, such as sea level rise, transportation, logistics, affordable housing, those types of issues.
I think all of those things are certainly on the table. I don't want to give too much of a preview as to what we're going to get into.
Just in case the candidates happen to be listening today, sure.
But clearly, look, I mean, Tim Canova has made a central point of his campaign that he does not believe that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is trustworthy, so I would expect him to raise that issue and for her in this forum to be able to address that. And yes, we want to get into policy details where, you know, in many ways, the two candidates are basic Democrats at their core. You know, they're pro-choice folks. They have a long litany of things that they agree on. But there are points of contention between them. And we want to try to find those, explore those, and try to bring that out so that the voters who will be going to the polls for early voting on Monday will be able to start making those decisions.
You know, this is a fascinating race because it is a primary race to a well-established incumbent, Rosemary, to Jim's point earlier. What made Debbie Wasserman Schultz vulnerable on the issues? Not the character question, because obviously Mr. Canova got into the race well prior to the email leaks and whatnot. But what were the issues that have allowed his support to come to a place where it has provided at least Wasserman Schultz with the most viable Democratic candidate and competitor that she's had in a number of years?
Well, I'm not sure it is the issues that made her so vulnerable, although that she voted for the Iran nuclear deal after great examination. There's a difference in policy there, although Mr. Canova says he would not undo it. There's some differences on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But the reason that his campaign has propelled into one that has legs is because of how what came out of the DNC, how Debbie managed the debates. Personally, I didn't find the emails from Debbie that were released so terrible. I thought those sounded like
asking
emails
for Broadway
to me.
Tickets,
yeah,
and those,
yeah,
kinds of,
okay,
things.
It shows a little privilege and a little bit of ego, but you know, it wasn't the worst thing. And I got to say this, as much as I love and respect Jim DeFede, I'm disappointed that this debate is going to be on and Sunday morning at 8 a.m. How many people really are going to be watching that? She got criticized for not holding debates when people are going to watch them. She's going to have her debate on Sunday at 8 a.m.?
Well, Jim, I'll let you respond here, but let's be fair. I don't think it's the congresswoman who's dictating the time of the debate. Jim, is that fair?
Well, that's what my show is. My show is now on at from 8:30 to 9, and now we've expanded it to be from 8 to 9 to be able to let us get more into it. You know, this was the forum that we were able to provide for mm-hmm. them. Obviously, if the, you know, I know Tim Canova has asked for additional debates, and I will say on the other side of things, I know there are not many incumbents who would debate a primary challenger. I think debates are a good thing, and I'm glad we have it. And, you know, the entire debate will be posted online, and it will be rebroadcast at noon, between noon and 1, on our sister station, WBFS, and it'll be live streamed on Facebook. So it'll be there. And more importantly, pieces of it will be able to get picked up by both campaigns. I think if news is made during this debate, which I think it will, I think it'll get out to the public, the greater public at large.
Rosemary, it's better than against a Dolphins game, I guess, too, right? You know, we'll leave it there. But, Jim, to your broader point about incumbents' debate, we haven't seen a lot of that this time around, Rosemary. We haven't seen, obviously, a debate on the Republican side with Senator Rubio. We haven't seen a debate on the Democratic side for the Democrats vying to run for the United States Senate for that nomination. I can tell you from personal experience with Florida Public Radio that we have interfaced with both those senatorial campaigns trying to gather together some steam for primary debates and haven't been able to get any pickup.
Right. In fact, Senator Rubio, so far as I can tell, has not even agreed to meet with any editorial board in Florida. This past week, the Sun Sentinel editorial board did meet with both Representative Alan Grayson and Representative Patrick Murphy, the candidates on the Democratic side. And at it, Murphy explained why he decided not to debate Grayson.
Yeah.
It was Murphy a lame excuse. He says, because, you know, Lolita, Grayson's ex-wife, has raised these charges.
I will say Representative Murphy did not accept our invitation for a debate even prior to the Grayson domestic abuse allegations coming out.
Okay. And, you know, it's a lame excuse. And what you need to know is, at least on his side, Marco Rubio is an extraordinary debater. He did great in the debates. I mean, it really helped propel him as a real contender. Patrick Murphy needs the experience. Alan Grayson, I think, would be a tough guy to debate, but Murphy really does need the experience, and more importantly, people need to see the choices in this race, and it's good for democracy, and it was a mistake.
It doesn't appear to happen on the U.S. Senate side, but in the Florida 23rd House race, Jim DeFede will be moderating. Will it be a true debate, Jim, in terms of timed answers and responses?
No, I don't like to run it that way. I think I've watched a lot of debates in my day, and I think the best ones are the ones where the moderator holds the control and is able to press for answers and push people. And so I'll be going back and forth between the two of them. You know, I think that too often when we start getting into panels and 60 seconds for this and 30 seconds to respond, it gets a little canned. And I'd rather keep the momentum on me being able to push for the answers to be able to make it a better value for the voter at home.
Jim DeFede along with us from CBS4 here in Miami from our studios in Key West at the studios of Key West. Thanks so much, Jim. We appreciate you interrupting your vacation and your debate prep here for us here on the Florida Roundup. Rosemary O'Hara from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. She'll stick with us. As still to come on the Roundup, a top Florida Republican wants to buy land to help clean up the Everglades. Could this lead to a healthier environment? 800-743-9576. Get your phone calls in now. That's next as the Roundup continues.